This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you heard the Environment Matters Christmas show, you'll have heard the ever-observant Tim Hill from the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust telling us about Gull O'Clock, the time in the morning when you can look up and see gulls silently sliding across the sky way above you, off to find food for the day, and then again in the evening when they make the return journey to roost for the night. And if you missed that episode, you can find it and listen now on the podcast page of mix92.6.com. Now, I'm going to lay my cards on the table right now, and no doubt the keen bird watchers amongst you are going to have a great laugh, but I always thought that gulls were essentially seagulls of various kinds and that they perhaps just took short breaks inland when things were getting a bit wild out at sea. Perhaps you thought that as well. I do hope I'm not alone. Anyway, I thought it was about time that we learnt a little bit more about these beautiful birds, especially as apparently they're not having a great time. And who better to speak to than Josh Carms, People and Wildlife Officer at the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And let's start by getting that question out of the way about whether all gulls are essentially seagulls.
Yeah, we've all got this image in our minds, don't we, that we see gulls at the seaside and that's where they are. Seagulls is in the sort of common name, but this is really a bit of a falsehood because so many gulls of lots of different types live away from the coasts, actually around our inland towns and cities.
That's good to know. And so they're full-time there. Do they all have to live near water, or indeed are they just birds that live anywhere?
Gulls are generally highly adaptable. They are able to live in all sorts of environments, and given that adaptability, they do really well in our urban areas. So their natural nesting place, one could argue, is cliffs, you know, so by the coast. But our cities are mimicking that, and so on the top of taller buildings with gravel tops, it's the perfect place for gulls to breed.
Well, that's good to know that they are able to adapt to the kind of environments that we're creating for them. And can you tell us a little bit about the different types of gulls that we have around Hertfordshire?
So by far the most frequent gull species we have around here is the black-headed gull, which actually has a dark chocolate brown coloured head during the breeding season. But in the wintertime, it loses that. The feathers molt away and it has the little earmuffs behind its head. Then the other gulls, well, there's another smallish gull, the common gull, which is not as common as the name suggests. It's one of those misnomers. Then, so the lesser blackback gull is a much larger bird. It has a dark back, so much darker than the common gull and black-headed gull. It has a big yellow bill with a red sort of spot near the end. And the herring gull is closely related to the lesser blackback, but it's got a much lighter coloured back. The largest gull that we have around this area is a less common one. It's called the great black-backed gull, and it is a beast of a bird. It's pretty huge, big wingspan, and it has a very dark back, almost black.
Yeah. Well, and they are quite impressive birds, aren't they? They're very noticeable for all of them are very often, parts of their bodies are pristinely white. And some of the bigger gulls, they are really quite big birds, aren't they?
Well, people may be familiar with red kites soaring above our skies. Some gulls, like the herring gull and lesser black-backed, will rival those in size. So looking up, you know, you'd see large gulls next to the kites of pretty equal size, yeah.
Yeah, and they often can be quite aggressive in their interactions with other predators as well, aren't they? They are quite fearsome birds.
They can be, and being, you know, that adaptability again is forcing them to find food in different ways. That often means mobbing predators, and obviously they wouldn't like predators being around their territories because it might mean that their young may be on the menu for them. So they will bend their nests fiercely.
Indeed. And I suppose this way in which they do defend their territory and what they have and, you know, and seek to perhaps take prey off other things. But this is where some of the interactions with things like stealing chips comes from and perhaps gives them a little bit of a bad reputation. Do you think that's justified or do you think we should have a bit more respect for them?
Oh, I think respect is definitely owed. When it comes to stealing chips, you've got to think that the only reason why they're doing it is because they're really hungry. And they're opportunists. They're very smart animals. And they are just using what's around them to be able to survive.
Indeed. And we can't really blame them for that. So can you just tell us a little bit more about their lifestyle, the kind of things that they eat and what they generally do each day?
So gulls have a very generalist diet. So that there isn't really one specific thing that they eat. Particularly around where we live here. They are adaptable, being able to feed in a number of environments. So you could see gulls in city centres eating scraps of food, perhaps from a cafe. Or you could see the same species of gull out in a playing field, tapping their feet on the ground, trying to attract worms to the surface that they will eat on. So very varied diets. Lifestyle-wise, during the day, gulls will be out feeding wherever they can find food. And in winter, this is obviously incredibly important as they, like any wild species, they'll need to be eating more during the colder times to keep warm and survive the cold winters. But then at night time, the gulls will gather together in what we call a roost. And these can be pretty sizable. The only proper gull roost in Hertfordshire is at Hillfield Park Reservoir, which is the largest undisturbed water body in the county. The gulls gather in huge numbers at Hillfield Park Reservoir, and they do that because it's a safe place to roost. They're safe from predators that would otherwise try to eat them during the night. And also, the reason that they gather together in such numbers is more eyes looking out for potential threats. So a hill-filled peregrine might swoop by looking for food, or a fox might get a bit too close to the bank. So with all these gulls, they can start a warning system. But also, it's a chance for them, being very social animals, to be able to communicate, to say where the best foraging areas have been that day. A bit like honeybees do in a hive. They talk to each other and they let the members' relatives know, friends know, perhaps, where they have been foraging and finding the best food.
And about how far do they travel to get to food from a hill-filled reservoir? What's the sort of farthest you'd expect them to go?
Well, they could travel dozens of miles away from Hillfield to find food, travelling along routeways, following motorways to rubbish dumps or big areas of wetland where they can find the most food. There are some gulls that were shown to even travel from Hillfield, heading all the way down to central London. These were herring gulls. And they came back all the way back up again to roost.
Wow, that's a long way, and it does show the importance that Hillfield is playing there. Now, sadly, the Wildlife Trust has some quite bad news about how gulls are doing. What have you done to assess gull numbers and to work out how they are doing?
Well, the British Trust for Ornithology, the BTO, have an ongoing survey. It's called the Winter Gull Survey, and it was typically held every 10 years or so. The local bird group, the Hart Bird Club, organised volunteers to come to Hillfield Reservoir, and we looked at the number of birds that were flying into the site. So all the small gulls flying in from all the margins coming around were counted up, and the large gulls as well. And that's how we split it to get a more accurate reading. And so they found that at Hillfield, there are almost 12,000 birds that come in winter to roost at Hillfield. Now, this number is down on previous surveys. So in the Winter Gull Survey of 1994, there were about 30,000 gulls counted in the roost. In 2004, so that's 10 years later, there were about 20,000. And last winter, 2024, there were around 12,000. So that's a decline of approximately 60% in 30 years.
Oh my goodness, that is That's a huge drop. So from 30,000 down to 12,000. And do you think that this decline is reflected throughout the country, or is there something that means that less birds are coming to Hillfield, or is there no way you could know that?
One thing we do know from national surveys is that the numbers of herring gulls great blackback gulls are certainly declining. And it's quite a stark decline. It is again about 60% decline in herring gulls. And the number of black-headed gulls at Hillfield Park Reservoir has declined greatly. That's the number of wintering birds. So it may be as a result of locations that they used to find food, or typically will go to find food, are rubbish tips and landfill sites where they will forage around and find scraps of food. But as we moved away from tipping our food waste into landfill, there may be less availability for the birds there.
Wow, do you know, I'd not even thought that. But of course, our food waste now goes for anaerobic digestion, and actually, quite often, the rest of the waste is being incinerated, both of which are not available for gulls, are they? So great that we're doing other things with our waste, but that does feel a sad loss for our gulls there. So,
and also, Amanda, sorry, just say it also, it just goes to show how the effect that us humans have on the environment, and it's such a stark change in the number of gulls just by where our food ends up.
Yes, indeed. And as we are such a, our population is so big, the difference that we can make to the environment is huge, isn't it? So, Josh, you've explained to us how gulls are very good flyers. They cover long distances. Do they migrate at all, or is the population at Hillfield, is it largely stationary there all year?
Oh, well, we'll have the breeding population, which makes up a small proportion of the birds that we see in winter, because the majority of winter birds at Hillfield are migrants. They will fly in over vast distances from the continent, and largely black-headed gulls. So we have this big influx all over the UK, and Hillfield has a big catchment area drawing many of these birds that are seeking the warmer opportunities that Hertfordshire offers.
I love the way you put that. It makes it sound like a tropical holiday resort. So these birds are coming from Northern Europe, are they?
Northern and Central Europe as well. And interestingly, because of international bird monitoring programs, some birds are tagged where they have their nests. And at Hillfield, we will be able to read a ring number of some of these birds and identify that some of them have travelled or hatched in Central Europe.
Wow. So what kind of countries are we talking about there?
It's all about Poland, perhaps, and going all the way across to the Netherlands.
Wow. And so they've flown all the way over, especially to Hillfield, for the opportunities that they have here in a warmer winter than they'd get there.
That's right. And it really is a relatively a tropical paradise for the birds, escaping the really harsh winters over there with fewer opportunities. The ground's really hard. But over here, the ground can still be moist, and they're able to get in there. The lakes are not all frozen up, so they're able to actually have those big communal social roosts that they need.
So does the Herts Middlesex Wildlife Trust, do you have any ongoing monitoring of gull populations at Hillfield? And are you doing anything perhaps to help them there, given they are struggling in this way?
So we have some fantastic volunteers who dedicate a lot of time to monitoring the gull populations and the gull roost at Hillfield. So the ongoing monitoring looks at particular species of gulls, and there'll be a general count as well as looking for rarities within the roost. And it's an important time to say probably that Hillfield Park Reservoir is really the only reliable place that Mediterranean gulls can be found. And this is a rare Hertfordshire bird.
Wow. And is there anything that you can do to help the gulls at Hillfield? Anything with the environment there, or perhaps where they nest? Or is it really down to the rest of us with the wider environment?
At Hillfield, well, it's owned by Affinity Water. and managed by Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust. So we have, with Affinity, been creating some habitats for all manner of wetland species, particularly wetland birds, and those birds that have been using these new features, these lagoons and islands that we've been forming, are indeed black-headed gulls. So they provided nesting locations for them, and that will certainly help to boost the local breeding gull population.
Well, that sounds good. That's great that you're able to do something to help them. And perhaps if we want to go and see the gulls, perhaps see the amazing spectacle of them coming to roost, what time of day is best to see them? Have you got any tips to see them in all their magnificence?
People need only look up to the sky if they live in certain parts of Hertfordshire or North London and see the gulls flocking towards Hillfield Reservoir. And it's known as gull o'clock, and that time in the morning when you hear the gulls calling as they all fly away en masse away from Hillfield. And then as it gets dark again, they will be returning. So if someone were to go to Hillfield, there's a public viewpoint accessible from Hog Lane. Just walk down the footpath and you can look over the reservoir from that viewpoint, and you can see the 10,000 plus birds flocking in, and the best time to do that is just before it gets dark, maybe from 3 o'clock until dusk. It's quite the spectacle. I liken it to snow as all the white birds are falling fairly gracefully down onto the water.
Fantastic. You know, that sounds, as you say, absolutely spectacular, and hopefully will help us to have a little bit more love and respect for these amazing birds. Josh, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about them today.
Thank you very much.
I was talking there to Josh Carms of the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. Now, you'll find Hillfield Park Reservoir between Bushy and Elstree, and it's a Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust reserve, and it is actually closed to the public, but as Josh says, there is a public viewing platform on the east side of the reserve, which is accessible via Hog Lane down a public footpath. Do remember to wear your wellies, as it can get very muddy, and you're asked to please stick to the path. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.